From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Many of you have heard about near-death experiences. I've written about them in my book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences. Near-death experiences have become a rage in our time. From the time that Raymond Moody, an occult parapsychologist, coined the term near-death experiences, there has been a virtual cottage industry that has sprung up with stories and books and movies on near-death experiences. And one of the interesting things about these stories is they are all different, which ought to immediately alert us that they can all be wrong, but logically they can't all be right. I remember when Betty Eady wrote the book Embraced by the Light, she gave a Mormon perspective on Jesus and a Mormon perspective on heaven. When Eben Alexander, as a scientist, had a near-death experience, he gave his perspective on heaven, and quite frankly, in his perspective in heaven gained through his near-death experience, there was no need for Jesus. There was no need for salvation. In fact, in his view, there's nothing that you could do wrong. When Mary Neal wrote her experience with respect to her near death, she says that she was able to go to a brightly lit hall in which people were given a second chance to either receive Christ or reject the atonement that was offered to them. All of the stories are different. You look at Colton Burpo and the movie and the book that's all the rage right now, Heaven is for Real. And you start to look at his description of heaven, you not only find that he is describing a heaven that is not found in the Bible, but you find that he has given us information which is extra-biblical revelation. Revelation that not even Jesus and the Apostle Paul or John has given us. And therein lies the systemic problem. Ultimately, while experiences should not be discounted, they should always be tested. And it's one of the reasons I've invited Beth Malarkey to be on the broadcast. Her son is the subject of a New York Times bestseller, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. And it's purported to be a true story by Kevin and Alex Malarkey. But in truth, as Beth has pointed out in many different venues and on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, it is embellished and the words of Alex have been twisted. And that ultimately the real story behind the story is the peace that you can have in the midst of life storms. Because life is not a panacea, and she has experienced that full on as the caretaker, the caregiver, as the mom of Alex on a ventilator, quadriplegic. She is living the story day by day, and it's not a story that happened, but it's a story that is an ongoing story. It's happening. And when I talked to Beth on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the very thing she said to me about this is that the Word of Faith teachers would love to tell you that if you can make a positive self-affirmation, words can create your reality. I was thinking about what I wrote in The Osteenification of American Christianity, where Joel Osteen, the biggest of the Word Faith teachers today, says that the paralytic in John's gospel lying by the pool of Bethesda actually was lying around feeling sorry for himself and continually listed all of his excuses. I'm all alone. I don't have anyone to help me. Other people let me down. Other people always seem to get ahead of me. I don't have a chance in life. And then Joel Osteen, without a hint of mercy, points out that if that paralytic was not making the negative confessions, he would be able to get up and walk. Beth Malarkey knows a different story. She, again, is living it day by day along with her son. And she understands the real story comes from Scripture, and that is there is a time when her son Alex is going to be completely made whole. In the meantime, we grow in the cauldron of adversity. That's the biblical story. And Beth, I am so grateful for your expounding that story from a perspective that few other people can on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. I can promise you it has touched the lives of thousands of people.
Thanks, Hank. I want to say something real quick. It's not real quick. It's probably one of the most important things is that's missing from these books, too, is the gospel message. It's wishy-washy at best and paints a picture Alex described as making it look like a trip to New York as going to heaven, and certainly doesn't say, you know, it makes it look like anybody can get to heaven. And not professing, you know, Jesus as Lord and anything about repentance and believing in the risen, you know, Christ. It's nothing about the gospel message. So I think that's real important to note because I think it opens up to more the sales can reach a broader audience and the positive confession. I don't think any of my words could accurately describe some of the nights that we've endured, but the very realness of the pain is the very thing that is the testimony to God, and it's His grace is sufficient. It's not that it's necessarily easy, but I call it doable, doable with Him. And what's funny, in the beginning, I hope this portrays to any individual that may be listening that you're in a situation, and I'm so sorry if you're in a situation where someone's telling you that you lack the faith or that, you know, you're complaining too much. No, we do sometimes complain. Complaining, you know, is not good. But expressing very real feelings and trying to understand them. You know, Alex, when he had his back surgery and was so bad, I was watching him endure so much. And fortunately, the medicine that he was on, he doesn't remember the first 3 days. I do. And it's kind of that pain of, you know, I've gone through it. I've been there. And it's not, if you profess certain things out of your mouth and claim it, or no, you experience the pain, you walk through it with Him, and, you know, on the other side, you look back and the tried and true, you know, journey you've done together, and you know, it's only been with Him. There's not a human being on this earth that could have done that with you. But there are individuals that will walk with you, and that, there's pain involved with that. And it's the hardest thing to watch someone else in pain and know that you absolutely cannot help them out of it. You cannot fix it for them. There's no words you say. You can pray. You can pray. And I guess just, you know, hold their hand as best you can in the midst of it.
Talking to Beth Malarkey, she is the mother of Alex Malarkey, who is the subject of The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, a New York Times bestseller, published by Tyndale House. And quite frankly, she is pointing out that there are two stories here. One story is a story that does not jive with the biblical worldview, but the other story, which she has so beautifully articulated, is the biblical worldview, and that is the story of peace in the midst of the storm. The fact that life is one series of challenges after another, and you never get rid of the challenges, but we look forward to the hope of resurrection. This is what allowed the martyrs to endure every indignity that one human being can foist on another. They looked forward to a resurrected body and a resurrected universe and a resurrected Savior. And this is the hope that Beth Malarkey is expressing on this broadcast. One can hardly imagine what she is going through. And the reason I say that is I think of Johnny Erickson Tada, a good friend of mine, a quadriplegic. And when she has come to my studio to do the show, I have seen what she has got to go through just to make herself ready, prepared to be able to do a show. And I can only imagine what Beth and Alex are going through. And by the way, Beth, I do not take for granted for even a moment what you've done coming on this broadcast, because it takes a tremendous amount of courage. And I am grateful to you, because this is something I want to get to. Your husband, Kevin, is going to churches. And I suppose when he goes to churches, he's talking about the stuff in the book. And it seems to me that the real story is the story you're telling right now, the story of how in the midst of the deepest and darkest night, you know the Lord is still there.
There was one night where Alex was really struggling respiratory-wise. And I had just taken him to the hospital the month before. And I was home alone. But Kevin was actually out of town speaking on the book. And I looked at my other three sleeping, because we all slept in the same room that night because, you know, we were all here by ourselves. And I'm working on Alex, and I'm trying to make it to the morning, just trying to keep him stable enough to make it to morning. And there's a line. Our doctor and I have established a line now because of this particular night. He wasn't in risk, but it was trying to just that line of when do you go to the hospital and you're looking at these precious kids sleeping and thinking of the trauma they've been through, and you're just going, Lord, you've got to get us through this, and Lord, I'm trusting you, and not knowing how you're going to do this and exactly what to do, but you know the one who holds all the plan that's perfect, and you've got to trust him, because you can't exactly make a phone call to the neighbor and say, hey, can you come over and fix this one for me? And that is the story, Hank, because God is that good that he, you know, he is right there. If you saw that video I made, there's a little clip that says, you know, in the midst of the tears and the crying, and you're absolutely broken. And that's when he's holding you. And reminding people that it's that struggle. We want the easy way. We as human beings, I think it's that's just our natural inclination. We want the easy way. You know, it starts getting rough. We want, and there's an easy road over here. You know, and it's the same way. It starts getting rough. You know, can we make it a little easier? Can we just say a few words and make it right or whatever? And then, you know, if it doesn't work when we say those words, then I'm messing up. But, you know, God doesn't work that way. And the martyrs, you know, Hank, they died for the faith. They were burned at the stake. They were crucified. They truly were persecuted beyond belief. And yet, we're sitting here in these days profiting by selling I guess the easy, trying to make it look like the easy way. And it's concerning that, you know, one day those that are being led to believe, you know, coming to a relationship with Jesus Christ because they uttered a few words and in a moment of emotionalism, will have to, you know, depart from me, for I did not know you. That's concerning. We need to take it very seriously. If we believe the Bible is true, it is infallible, and it is sufficient, then we need to take it that seriously.
We're listening to the voice of Beth Malarkey. She's the mom of Alex Malarkey, who's the subject of the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. And she wanted to let everyone know that the book is dangerous, that the book is destructive, and that ultimately, if you want to know about what happens when the silver cord is severed, you get that information from the Bible, not books, on near-death experiences. We'll be right back with more of Beth Malarkey.
According to Scripture, there are only two kinds of people, those who on bended knee confess Jesus as Lord and those unbowed who experience eternal separation from God's grace and goodness. Your ministry support helps rescue lost souls with the truth. And to thank you for your gift today, we'll rush you a copy of Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with exciting truths about your eternal future. Request your copy with your gift today. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hannah Graff will be back with more right after this. C.S. Lewis once said, "Enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is." Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. As dozens of spiritual and moral indicators make increasingly clear each and every day, the American church is surrendering hard-won ground to the forces of secularism and atheism. The sad and alarming truth is that enemy-occupied territory is expanding. The good news is that growing numbers of Christians are painfully awakening to these brutal realities. Unless we join together to mount a great campaign of sabotage, our children and grandchildren will reap the exceedingly bitter harvest of our indifference and apathy. To enlist in a growing army of committed Christians willing to take a stand for life and truth, go online now to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hannah Graff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. There are deep problems within Christian families in contemporary America, manifesting in troubling trends among Christian youth. These problems are rooted in misunderstandings of the meaning and proper goals of parenthood, and solutions will be found only by deriving these notions from Scripture rather than from secular culture. Other topics include John Hagee's Magic Apologetics, how the film Noah raises questions only Christianity can answer, a point-counterpoint viewpoint concerning a theology of animal rights, including an afterword by Hank Hannah Graff. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. all spend eternity somewhere, so it's only natural to want to know more about your final destination. Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences gives you scriptural answers to your most pressing questions. And it's our thank you when you give today to support more of the Bible Answer Man broadcasts and other CRI resources you love. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org to give your gift and request your copy today. Now, back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And we'll get right back to our conversation with Beth Malarkey in just a few moments. I want to remind everyone listening in right now that this is the end of our fiscal year. It's one of the most important, crucial, critical months of the year, and we ask you to stand with us this month in particular, prayerfully as well as financially, if you can make a generous donation to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. It would be deeply appreciated and used for the furtherance of the gospel. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, do remember resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Talking to Beth Malarkey, she's the mother of Alex Malarkey, the subject of the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. And one of the things that she has made clear is that the book is dangerous and deceptive. And though it would profit her family for her not to come out and say what she's saying, she is more driven by biblical correctness than by political correctness or by that which can be gained by communicating the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. The book is deceptive in terms of what it is communicating, in terms of the story in general, but particularly with respect to the Bible. For example, in the Bible we read that John in his vision says, I did not see a temple in the city for the Lord God Almighty in the Lamb or its temple. However, in the book, Alex supposedly sees a temple. Nothing, of course, could be farther from the truth. There is no temple in heaven, because the Lord replaces the temple. And to go back to types and shadows, when the ultimate sacrificial lamb has come, is, in fact, according to the writer of Hebrews, tantamount to trampling upon the sacred blood of Jesus Christ. But Beth, I suppose the most difficult thing for Alex today is having people suppose that he is a boy with a halo. Because he's been in the presence of God. Now, if you are around him, you touch him or communicate with him, you're communicating with someone who has special revelation at their disposition.
Hank, thank you, because that is it. I can't take Alex out in the one area of our county, because literally, he got approached every single time, and the church that stated in the book that, and still stated, I just checked the Tyndale website, and actually there's a new promotional page for Kevin, and it says something about that, you know, we attend an evangelical church, and the use of pronouns makes it look like we, meaning the whole group. Alex and I have not attended that particular church since 2009. They know that, yet in the community, they're still talking about as if we go there. And when I would take Alex out in public in that area, they would approach him as if he's a prophet, as if he's truly been to heaven and has some extra biblical revelation. They, you know, and even when I'd stand there and say, he didn't write the book, he didn't see that, or whatever it is that you try to say, it's as if your words just drop to the ground. Even to the extent that one time at the local Walmart, they just kind of went past me and went right up to him. He's a teenage boy, and kissed him on the head. And it takes you aback, and it's like, you know, he's a boy. But it does, it paints these children as if they're, well, basically they're worshiping the child. And that's a big issue. And I wrote something because I've, you know, listened to a lot of things, but basically when you're looking at scripture, there was always a reason, you know, when Paul saw what he saw, there's a reason. And then he received the thorn in his flesh. And, you know, these individuals that saw in scripture did not profit monetarily from them. They did not go on to just talk about particulars of them. They talk about the glory of God. They all talk about the glory of God. And if Colton and Alex, or Don Piper even, or any, you know, I say Don because he, you know, says he's a Christian too, these individuals that say they've experienced what they have, and they have an extra bit of information, then my question is, should we be giving them a pen and paper and be expecting new pages or perhaps books to be added to the Word of God? Because if they've truly seen something and it's that inspired, we should be expecting something beyond that, because the reason God gave that in the beginning was because it was for the Scripture. And now, I don't, and especially with the little boys, that they don't, you know, they're not old enough. I was reading an excerpt from the book, The Boy Came Back from Heaven, where it's talking, and basically it was describing that Alex struggles to find the words to describe, or, you know, he wasn't old enough at the time to accurately describe. So then if you are writing the words, did he say them, or did you say them? That's where you get in this wishy-washy. And if I found something interesting, too, it's when you confront somebody for possible error, if you're interested in truth, you're going to want to find truth. If you want to defend your story, however true or right or wrong or whatever, you're going to get more defensive. And when you're talking about the Word of God, I would hope your concern more is if you're in error according to the Word of God.
Well, one of the things, and you've alluded to this, I mean, you look at Colton Burpo. If you take at face value what is being communicated by the Burpos in the movie, in the book, in television and radio interviews, then you have to believe that Colton has been empowered to settle theological issues that the church has struggled with throughout its history, that he has received revelation superseding, as you point out correctly, Beth, the biblical prophets and apostles, and that he's also been shown the future. Don Piper, in fact, told a worldwide television audience, and of course he is the guy that wrote the book 90 Minutes in Heaven, he told a worldwide television audience that because he had already died, and people only die once, and in his case, let me clarify, it's not a near-death experience, it's a resurrection from the dead. But he says, since he had already died, and people only die once, Jesus will return within his very own lifetime. So he now knows precisely when Jesus is going to return within his own lifetime. So these people have taken on characteristics, prophetic prowess, that supersedes biblical writers. And I think you have said it well. If this is all true, then you might as well take parts of these books and add these parts of the books to the Bible.
Correct. And that's frightening. And again, it's that someone speaking something, they sound good, it goes down easy. Man, I get an emotional, you know, warm fuzzy from this, and okay, I'm closer to God. Adversity will bring you closer to God. And going through those challenges
Say that again. I mean, I think that's something that needs to be underscored. You just said adversity brings you closer to God. It's not the supposed relationship with someone who went to heaven and came back that right. brings you closer to God. It's adversity that brings you closer to God.
Correct. And it's again, if you search the internet, and this has kind of been my, you know, I've had to search the internet and find what people are saying about my child. And it's interesting because that's several things are like that. Is there, first of all, they thought they were communicating with Alex. They'd write to him. Thank you, Alex. There's actually a Facebook page called Pray Every Day for Alex Malarkey, and I wrote on there, I said, please take down this page, and I sent a message. I don't know who it is. They won't take it down, and people are writing on there. Any place they can find, you know, thank you, Alex, for writing your story. Thank you for letting your dad write your story. You made me fit closer to God. I had this experience, and, you know, thank you for basically confirming what I had. It's just those kind of bizarre, like, kind of scenarios, and just, you know, kind of like if you get close enough to Alex or Colton or, you know, but I can say Alex because I've actually witnessed it. It's kind of if you get close enough to Alex, then you're going to be closer to God. And no, you won't be. And it's, you know, it's frightening that there's so many individuals that will say that, but they won't open the book that through which God truly speaks to us, and that's the Bible.
And again, we're talking to Beth Malarkey. She's the mother of Alex Malarkey, the subject of the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. Near-death experiences are once again all the rage, so many people talking about it. And we're endeavoring on the Bible Answer Man broadcast to give you a biblical perspective so that you can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. Do remember, near-death experiences are the subjective recollections of experiences that occur during a state of unconsciousness precipitated by a medical crisis like an accident, a suicide attempt, or a cardiac arrest. But the difference between clinical death and biological death makes all the difference in the world. Bottom line is this: a near-death experience tells us nothing whatsoever about what happens when the silver cord is severed. We're going to continue our discussion with Beth Malarkey on the other side of the break. You won't want to miss it. But as we go to break, a quick reminder that we need you to stand with us prayerfully and financially as we close out our fiscal year. Omar Bradley, a great general in World War II, said it correctly. We have men of science, but too few men of God. We have grasped the mystery of the atom and rejected the Sermon on the Mount. The world has achieved brilliance without conscience, and therefore ours is a world of nuclear giants and ethical infants. And one of the realities that is borne out in our epoch of time in terms of being ethical infants is that we buy uncritically into subjective experiences without testing them in light of Scripture and then holding fast to that which is good. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more of Beth Malarkey, so please don't touch that dial.
To ignore the danger of aggression is simply to invite it. We shall doom our children to a struggle that may take their lives. So spoke one of America's greatest World War II figures, General Omar Bradley. Although aggression in many parts of our world today, Syria, Crimea, Afghanistan, and Sudan, to name only a few, is blatantly physical, the greatest threat to Americans today is arguably spiritual. In fact, a relentless assault on life, truth, and even common decency is eroding the very foundations of a nation that was once a bright light to the world. Sadly, many Christians seem either to be surrendering the fort without firing a shot in defense, or simply slumbering through the conflict unaware of the moral threat. To take a stand for life and truth, as both are under attack, go online now to equip.org and make a generous gift today. That's equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be right back after this.
Music.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Apologetics is now hot stuff, but with popularity comes the danger of zeal getting ahead of knowledge and character. Christian defenders need to know the arguments of apologetics, but they must also find their moral bearings to carry the truth nobly, because both life and truth matter. Other topics include, is animal rights a biblical concern? Rethinking parenthood and the biblical foundations of the family. Sharing the gospel with those living with intellectual disability. Joyce Meyer in the 21st century. John Hagee's magic apologetics and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org. C.S. Lewis once said, enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage. As dozens of spiritual and moral indicators make increasingly clear each and every day, the American church is surrendering hard-won ground to the forces of secularism and atheism. The sad and alarming truth is that enemy-occupied territory is expanding. The good news is that growing numbers of Christians are painfully awakening to these brutal realities. Unless we join together to mount a great campaign of sabotage, our children and grandchildren will reap the exceedingly bitter harvest of our indifference and apathy. To enlist in a growing army of committed Christians willing to take a stand for life and truth, go online now to equip.org. That's equip.org. If heaven is for real, who gets to go there? What happens to those who have never heard of Jesus? Is hell for real? In Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, Hank tackles these and other questions about your eternal future with his no-nonsense biblical answers. Afterlife is our thank you when you support CRI's broadcast and other outreaches today. Request your copy with your gift by visiting equip.org or calling 888-7000-CRI. And thank you for making more ministry possible. Now here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're talking to Beth Malarkey. She's the mother of Alex Malarkey, the subject of the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. And one of the things that we've been stressing throughout the broadcast is that in an age in which subjective experience is supplanting the Scripture, we need to learn discernment skills. And as I think about a boy like Colton Burpo, Heaven is for Real, and the movie is all the rage today, or your son, Alex Beth, if they've really had the experiences that they supposedly have had, or at least the experiences that have been attributed to them, then, thinking about Colton now, you have a boy who's met Samson, who's met John the Baptist, he's met John the son of Zebedee, he's met Gabriel, Jesus, he's seen the horse of Jesus, he knows that Jesus doesn't have wings, but God the Father does have wings. If you really have the experience of knowing these great patriarchs and all the secrets of heaven, no wonder that people are idolizing you. If they really believe this story, if they think you've been hanging out with the patriarchs, the very people that we study in the scriptures, they're going to be mesmerized by whatever you say, and the prophetic mantle will hang on them like it hung on Elijah. And I like the way that you liken this, Beth, to opening a Christmas present ahead of time. If we want to know what's in the package, the real way to know that is through Scripture.
Well, and I think getting back to, I guess, the marketing value, our very carnal desires are to want to know things that, you know, the Christmas present that's not opened yet, but we want to know what's in it. And, you know, if someone's seen it already, wow, can you tell me? You know, these are young boys, and when you hear Dad in the background coaching him, you just it should raise questions. It should be concerning that we should start saying, wait a minute, what is really going on here? And it's not to, you know, Alex has said some things now, older, truthful things. He was saying things that, you know, he understands the error and things that he did say, and also admits to things that he said that he knew were not true, but it got attention. And so, you know, Hank, I did that as a child. I'm going to admit to that. I'm glad that someone didn't take my words and then try to hold me to them, because I was a child. And I think that's why, again, we have to get back to when we're talking about heaven, we have to go to the source of truth and search it. What does, and not write into it, because you hear individuals writing into it. Well, I found the scripture that backs up what Colton said. Really? Read it in context, because if you found a part of a verse, or, you know, we have to be careful, because we can put things in there that aren't really there.
And there's so many things in Scripture, Beth, that communicate not what heaven looks like, but what heaven is like. So when you have Jesus described as a lion or a lamb, we obviously know that Jesus is not a lion or a lamb. It tells us something about what Jesus is like. And the same thing is true in the book of Revelation. The imagery is designed to tell us something about heaven, not what it looks like, but what it is like. You know, so the golden bowls of incense, we're told by John, are the prayers of the saints, or the lamps of fire before the throne of God doesn't indicate that there are real gold lamps with flames in them before the throne of God, because John says they are the seven spirits of God, or the fine linen bright and clean. He says they're the righteous acts of the saints. So we have to be very careful that we know the art and science of biblical interpretation. And to your point, oftentimes a young child does not know that. They haven't mastered that. And so when we listen to their description of heaven, it may be sincere, but it can very much be the perspective of a child and be sincerely wrong. And I want to say from all of that, that on the one hand, I could talk to you for hours and hours. And the reason is this, that you obviously, very much like Johnny Erickson Tada, have learned a tremendous amount in the cauldron of adversity. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon, who is known as the Prince of Preachers, said, it is in the melting pot that we come to a true valuation of things, and it is there that we're poured out in new and better fashion. And I think that's what's happened with you. The wisdom that you exude totally baffles me. If I did not know that it is in those deep, dark nights, and for you, it is a life. It's easy for us to talk, but I'm not going through what you're going through. I can't even imagine going through what you're going through, quite frankly, Beth. You are going through something, but what you're going through is shaping you, and God does not do that for no reason whatsoever. He does that to use you, and I'm telling you right now, just so you will be edified and encouraged, you have blessed multitudes by what you have communicated. Your words are poignant and profound, and they demonstrate that you have wrestled with God in those deep, dark nights.
You hit it right there, because the weeping, the crying out, where are you? I know you care. I know you're there. You have all the answers. You're the Alpha and Omega. You have everything. When I'm searching for an answer, you have it. And I need insight. I call it, you know, wisdom. Dig for it. You have perfect wisdom. This situation is complicated beyond belief, but you know it all, and you know what you have planned for it. And that's what you cling to, Hank, because goodness gracious, when you're in great pain, sometimes it's so unbearable. It's worse when you watch your child and you feel like it's just so much happening to them. I kind of like, in a minute way, some of the martyrs where I've heard in China where their children were literally ripped out of their hands and tortured in front of them, and then they got killed themselves, but first had to watch their children suffer. Do you know what? You can kill the body, but you cannot take my soul. And that's the thing, is it is right here. You said it so well in your book about the eternal perspective, and it's like, some days it's hard, some days it's hard, but it's not about right here and right now. And that is the very realness of God, because it is not about right here. It is not the best life now. And when you believe in the risen Lord, the best life is to come. And that's what you can make it through, whatever you're asked to go through here, because of that. And that's a thank you so much for the privilege of being on the show, because I wish my Alex, because I have four kids. And as I said, I never want someone to think, well, Alex is, or Aaron is, or whatever, there's four. But there is an amount of suffering that Alex has endured that is, no words could adequately describe it. But he so bravely goes on and say at school, he got four academic awards, and that's not bragging on, that's not a pride thing, but this is the cool thing. See, that the excitement is in the simple things. And that's the blessing in the midst of this, I guess, is that we talk about the beauty of the sunset is so much more appreciable, because you really have come to know the one who painted it. And that's the kind of thing, because when you've learned to sit in an emergency room for 8 hours. This is one of the lighter nights. You just, you know, when you've sat in a pediatric intensive care and watched the room across the hall, and you know they're losing their baby, and you watch the staff, and they're the ones that aren't on the baby are crying, and you're watching this, and the people go by and not go on. You're watching all this trauma go on, and you know the rest of the world has no clue of the very drama that's going on right there. And you're going, God, you're right here. And it's only him that can get you through some of those, you know, those times when it's, like I said, you can't step out of it. You just have to go through it. And he's the only one can walk truly with you.
I want to close our time together, Beth, by praying for you and your family. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for Beth. Lord, for her life and for her testimony. And Lord, I thank you for her faithfulness in caring not only for Alex, but for Aaron and for Gracie and for Ryan. Oh, Lord, you know her needs. You know the difficulties that we can only imagine. And Lord, you experience them moment by moment with her. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would use this story as a testimony of your grace. Lord, I pray that people might know that the Christian faith is not about how we can have our best life now, as Beth has said, but it's about knowing that one day you will restore all things. That the message of Revelation is that one day there'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things will have passed away. Behold, all things will become new. O Lord Jesus, we know that while you are in heaven and we are here, and that at present a veil separates your space from our place, that one day that veil will be removed, and as you have inspired John to see, God himself will come down to live with us. We will be his people, and he will be our God, and he will wipe those tears from our eyes. O Lord Jesus, in the meantime, I pray that you would wipe the tears from Beth's eyes, and Lord, even more, that you would use the tears that she will cry in the future for your glory and for your grace and for the extension of your kingdom. And Lord, for Alex, just getting a glimpse of what he endures and has endured, oh Lord, I pray that you would give him the peace that passes all understanding. And Lord, if it be your will, raise him up like Johnny, as a testimony of your grace and goodness, not in the alleviation of a cursed creation in the now, but the promise that the curse will be removed in the forever. And Lord, I pray that even now many others will continue to pray for this precious family. Lord, may your will and purposes be affected through their lives. And Lord, may they receive great reward in the new heavens and the new earth wherein dwells righteousness. And Lord, we pray all of this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, in Christ's name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. C.S. Lewis once said, "Enemy-occupied territory, that is what this world is. Christianity is the story of how the rightful king has landed in disguise and is calling us to take part in a great campaign of sabotage." As dozens of spiritual and moral indicators make increasingly clear each and every day, the American church is surrendering hard-won ground to the forces of secularism and atheism. The sad and alarming truth is that enemy-occupied territory is expanding. The good news is that growing numbers of Christians are painfully awakening to these brutal realities. Unless we join together to mount a great campaign of sabotage, our children and grandchildren will reap the exceedingly bitter harvest of our indifference and apathy. To enlist in a growing army of committed Christians willing to take a stand for life and truth, go online now to equip.org. That's equip.org. Dr. Eben Alexander's wildly popular near-death experience book, Proof of Heaven, assures us that no matter what we do in this life, only unconditional love and joy await us in the world to come. But our Lord warned that while the gate to hell is wide, the road to it broad, and those who enter through it are many, the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Your generous support lets Hank Hanegraaff and CRI speak out against the lies that lead to hell. In appreciation for your gift today, we'll rush you Hank's book, Afterlife, What You Need to Know About Heaven, the Hereafter, and Near-Death Experiences, filled with answers to your questions about life after death.
Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. Again, that's equip.org.